This is real, right?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
No, this is real podcast.
We don't know. Oh, what Landon's doing Landon with this kind stuff.
Of a, okay,
we're recording.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure this got on the mic. Sorry.
Yeah.
Are you done? I didn't want to cut in too quickly.
You definitely like, cut in.
Derek's like, respectfully, but stop.
No, go for it. Sorry.
No, speaking of explosions,
I was just explaining why my afternoon exploded because I was trying to wear different hats. Because I was.
Yeah.
Basically, there were like lots of things that need to be done all at the same time, is all. So, but it all worked out. Anyway, cool. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we had a little explosion at work today.
Literal.
Literally, well, basically, the pressure washer did not. What's crazy?
Pressure?
No, somehow the way the pilot light lights the burner for the heat did not light correctly, and it filled the cavity up with gas and blew up. It didn't blow it up, but it blew the side panels off.
Oh, hello.
Not good. Yes. Fortunately, it didn't do any further damage other than kind of tweak the side panels a little bit, not
that's
ideal.
Fortunate.
Nice. I feel like if gas built up inside of me and I blew my side panels, I'd probably tweak some things too.
I don't know.
Whoa.
I don't know if we need to know that.
We don't even know if we're recording yet, so it's fine.
Well, we're recording.
Oh, this is going in.
Oh, dear.
This is going in.
You're listening to the Answers May Vary podcast. I'm Kristen Miller, and here today we have Brandon Miller, whose side panels are coming off, I guess.
It was a hypothetical. It was a hypothetical.
And Derek Schmucker.
Yes, hello.
And Brad Nisley. Did you have an explosion yet, Brad?
Hey, everybody. No.
you better hurry up and mention Landon before you forget
and
two
Landon,
podcasts
Landon,
in a row.
Landon, did you have an explosion today, Landon?
No, we're okay.
Okay.
Everything's fine. Or isn't, or however.
Yeah. Whew. So that was a lot. Brandon's over there squirming uncomfortably. It makes me so happy.
I'm just sitting here waiting for us to move on.
We can move on, whatever. So, yes, we have some things to catch up from last segment or last episode that we forgot. And those were, well, okay, we got some feedback from. Oh boy, has it been two episodes ago or three that we talked about?
It was a
non-resistance.
One, man, it's been a while.
And we got some feedback on that on Instagram. Is that right? It's kind of fuzzy.
It was on Instagram.
Yeah, it was
so we're going to call this person Jay as well.
A different Jay than
a different
the last Jay.
Jay than another Jay. Yeah, but his name does start with Jay, believe it or not. And so thank you, Jay, for your feedback, and you raised some really good questions about someone help me remember what
that
all this
was so alarming.
It's been so long since I read it.
Sorry.
What's going on?
Nothing happened. Everything's fine.
What is going on?
Something happened.
Someone's side panels suddenly they're about to explode. I don't even know.
I just heard a little
was,
gurgly noise.
Yeah, that's all I heard. Keep going.
Okay.
Sorry, that was me. It was like a burp that didn't come out the same way.
We are off the rails. Okay, keep going.
Hey, I ate before I came. Give it a break.
Okay, we can move on whenever you're ready. So, can you guys refresh my memory what exactly the feedback was? It was, I know Jay disagreed with some of the stuff we said, but I'm like a little fuzzy on specifics at the moment. And he also raised some really good thought-provoking questions. Mm-hmm. But
I think,
can someone help me here?
Well, I think he pointed out a bit of faulty logic, which I actually agree with. I was like, okay, in hindsight, that probably wasn't like my best argument for the point. I don't think it exactly like changed my mind on some key points, but I thought it was a valid side of the discussion that was good to have brought
up.
Do you
remember what it was, though? What the faulty logic was?
Okay, honestly, I don't remember a lot of particulars.
We should have pulled this up before we came on.
It's
the
been
air.
A minute.
I think a lot of it had to do with hypothetical situations that we may or may not find ourselves in,
mm-hmm.
and we use some logic that probably maybe doesn't add up.
Yeah. One of the things he said was that, well, we had talked about like, is it okay for women to carry pepper spray or not? And one of the things he said was that there's more violence against men than women.
Statistically.
That was interesting.
That was,
and that's a good point. I think I've talked about that some, that probably it's the other way, and I hadn't looked it up. So I thought it was good for him to, I thought that was good to bring up.
Right. A little fact check on us.
The only thing that I would say, it doesn't, the reason it doesn't really change my perspective is because I still feel that women that are attacked are more vulnerable generally than men that are. And so, but it was a valid point.
Which you could raise the question whether vulnerability is what we're trying to get away from.
Or, but we're not going to raise the question.
But we're not going to. Because we're here to talk about something else tonight. All we're saying is you made us think, Jay. Thanks for your response. And maybe in the future we'll get to some of your other questions. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll say one more thing. And that was that it was a pretty long typed out, long response. So he put some time into it and some thought. So I appreciate that.
Right.
Why does it feel like there's something else you're going to mention?
Because there was something else.
There was.
Yes, there's a person in the room that has had a major life change.
Oh, that's... Oh,
yes.
I don't know if that's what I was thinking about.
And we forgot to mention it last month.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about his facial hair. Oh, no.
I was going to make that joke, Brad.
Okay. No, we're talking about Kristen and his engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Kristen.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
May I give you a girlfriend?
Round of virtual applause.
I think she's, I think she's been mentioned on here before. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I got engaged end of September, so it's been a little while. Yeah. But somehow we didn't mention it on
We apologize. On the podcast. It's important to us.
No, it's important to me too, but that's okay. There's lots of things in my life that are important that don't get mentioned, so.
Okay.
Including facial hair?
Make that a new segment.
Whatever. Why is everybody talking about my facial hair all of a sudden? Yes, well, I shaved off my beard and now I'm letting it grow back. So,
in a different form. Mm-hmm.
In a different form, yeah. In a little more of
in
a,
different places.
Well, if it helps, I'm doing
wild,
a Shave November with
wild
you.
And free. Oh, cool.
Awesome. You just can't tell.
Did you shave it off before you started?
No.
No, okay.
I just that would have been interesting.
Let it grow further.
Just that. Kind of launch from where you're at.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody starts from where they're where
I don't
they
know.
Are.
Somehow, like, Derek doing No Shave November seems like it's similar to, like, the NRA doing a support rifle rights campaign. It's just kind of like the 24/7, I don't know. Isn't it kind of the usual? It's like, it'd be weird if they weren't doing it. You know what I mean?
When I asked Derek if he, earlier, like several months ago, I asked him if he's a No Shave November kind of guy. He's like, I'm more of a No Shave All Year kind of guy, didn't he?
I usually say No Shave All Fall, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. It wasn't all year. It was all fall. Yep. Okay, well, are we ready for open for debate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get into it,
Brad,
before we get off the rails.
Oh, we should say that we tell them that Mary didn't want to be here?
I guess we did.
We invited Mary to come back for part two. We're doing kind of a second part about community because last week was so good, and we invited Mary to come back on for that, but she had a scheduling conflict with tonight, so she was not able to be here. Sorry, Mary. We would love to have you, but thanks for what you contributed last time, and we will... You sparked some discussion this week too. So
yeah, and I would say that she is actually, in a way, answering the question tonight by not being here.
Ooh,
so spicy.
That's because she was doing things with friends. Us. So the question is, so for those of you that didn't listen to last month's episode, go back and listen to it first. But also, we talked about community. And one of the questions that came up within that discussion was, is proximity a requirement in developing a solid community or something along those lines? So that's the question for us tonight.
What do you mean by proximity?
Okay, so what's the definition for proximity? Do you want me to give one?
Go for it.
So to me, it's closeness. And I think that's generally the definition. I looked just a little bit today. There's some nuance there, but...
Specifically, geographical closeness, correct?
Yeah. Typically, it's physical physical distance from something, and proximity would denote that you are close to something,
Opposed to being able to communicate from far away.
Yeah, that would be
okay.
That would be the other side of things generally.
Gotcha.
I feel like I may be a little bit ill-equipped to talk on this because I don't know if I've exactly just tried to have my community not be in close proximity ever. Does that make sense? Like, I've communicated with people who, like, lived out of state before, but it was almost always people who were temporarily living out of my area and eventually were coming back.
So are you part of any sort of, you know, Facebook group or, you know, interest group that, you know, you communicate with, maybe a forum or whatever,
That type of thing?
Nah.
Barely?
Okay. Not really. Good for I mean, you. Maybe like our GroupMe chats. Do those count? Sorry, I'm not like a huge social media guy. So mm-hmm. That's why I feel like I'm a little bit ill-equipped because sure. I feel like probably some people would have more specific experience with trying to keep up with people from other areas than I do.
Mm-hmm. Are any of the rest of you in groups like that?
Yeah, but not with a lot of traffic or like, okay. I mean, it's not like, I don't think I'm part of any groups like that that I for sure message on every day other than like, yeah, I'm other than groups that I am in proximity with those people.
Sure. So do you think, sorry, I'm just kind of running with things here.
No, go ahead. I like
do
it.
Those groups though, do you feel like those are communities or what are they for you?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Derek's been awfully silent over there.
Yeah, I'm trying to formulate something here. But like those communities, I'm not really a part of a lot of any, I guess, online communities is kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah.
But I mean, in some ways, I mean, I'm kind of a part of the podcast makers community, but I don't really talk to other podcast makers except for our small group here.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I would consider myself a part of that community, gotcha. Even though I don't necessarily talk to people.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Interesting. So do you have a way to communicate with others? Like, is there some sort of forum or something?
Well, not that I'm in.
Okay.
So that's not really a real community. And then I think about like if you're not a part of it, you don't really know how big it is, but think of race car people that drive race cars, especially drag race vehicles. And there's a whole subsets, you know, there's diesel drag racers and there's gas drag racers, and they have some pretty tight knit little communities within their sport. And I sort of enjoy, I guess, those sports, but I'm not really a part of those communities either.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of, you see some of the things that these communities are kind of doing, but you're not really engaged.
I guess
in them.
Another one that maybe I would kind of be a part of would be, not that I'm really engaged in this community either, but there's a lot of people out there who like to work on their own vehicles, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of chatter back and forth on the internet mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't really engage in that community a lot, but I kind of feel like a small part of me is tied there because I enjoy the same things and I feel something in common with those people.
Okay.
I think Derek's actually keying in on a bit of an important, I don't know, at least a difference between like close proximity community and CPC for short. I don't know. Like close proximity community versus like more long distance is that it is a little easier to be in and out mm-hmm. as you want to.
That's right.
Like there's not as much of the, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what the word is that I want. Not really accountability, because I feel like that kind of carries a different connotation in some ways, at least it does for me, but maybe just more like expectations or commitment level is a little bit tends to be less mm-hmm. if there's not like the actual real like in-person type of thing.
Yeah, in a lot of those larger communities that I was just talking about, it's you're free to leave anytime. You're not expected to be a part of it forever.
Mm-hmm. Like if you had a group of dudes who like got together every month to chat about repairing their own vehicles versus like a Facebook group about repairing your own vehicles, I feel like there'd be a higher level of expectation for everyone in the group or most people in the group to make it a priority to show up actually than it would be for the Facebook group. But I don't know. That's just kind of workshopping that idea.
Can I tell you about the time that I tried to start a community and it didn't work?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Feel free.
So I was at when our community hosted a music camp, like a mobile music camp here a number of years ago. I was in a class about congregational song leading, and it was a good class, and I learned things, and I sensed that a lot of the people in the class were folks who had some experience leading congregational singing and were trying to better their skills, and there was kind of this camaraderie with the class and like kind of shared, you know, shared experience or shared challenges or, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, it seemed like people were open with each other and stuff. And so I created this GroupMe group that we could basically bounce ideas off each other, or it'd be a way to get word out to everybody about whatever new materials are available or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so after the music, so I like set this group up, and after the music camp was over, I think I sent a couple messages saying, hey, you can add whoever you want on here. And I know I was reading through a book that I like quoted some from at a couple times later on there, and got a little bit of response, but it pretty much just died and fizzled out. Like, and I think part of it was the nature of it. Like the people were together for a pretty short time, so it wasn't a lot of in-person shared experiences or whatever, but it's still, I think it was an example of how like the in-person was way better than the attempted from a distance communication. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That it kind of brings out the point in some ways. Like, you guys developed something together for those number of days, but then when you were apart, it wasn't something that really continued that much.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm. Brad, are you? You seem like, of the whole group, you might be the most likely to have more groups of friends, say in other states or whatever.
Sure. So I'm not really a part of any online community as such. I have dabbled in MentorDiscuss. I don't know if you've heard of that or not.
I have not. Never heard of her.
It's an interesting place. and actually, there can be some pretty deep discussions on there and whatever. There were some times when I was fairly involved, mostly reading, but I did some posting too. And it's kind of a neat community, but I didn't feel a really super strong connection. I didn't know these people. It was just people out there that I was interacting with online, and I learned a lot. But
so presumably Mennonites who are discussing things,
or? Generally, yes. Okay. I don't know that actually they're not all Mennonites, but okay. It's the stuff that they discuss is mostly, I mean, there's some current event stuff, but it's mostly from a Mennonite perspective, or, you know, that type of thing. And there's some very specific things for Mennonites. So yeah, it's pretty broad, but yeah.
So you're not like any disc golf communities or anything?
I mean, not actively. I think I might be a member of some sort of group, but I haven't been on it for months now. So I might glance at it some here and there, but, there is a local one that basically, none of you are on. I mean, you're on.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on.
Yeah, we both are on. Okay.
I don't say much, but I'm on.
Yeah. That, but that's more for, do you want to go play? I mean,
yeah, it's mostly to arrange actual in-person.
Actual, yes, yeah. Exactly. So there's some other stuff that happens on there, but, so yeah.
Do you have any out of state? See, like, I'm thinking more like than one-on-one,
because
like the times when I've communicated with people that live out of state or even out of country, this sounds bad, but it's usually kind of to keep the relationship on life support until they get back. Like, not entirely, but I'm just not that good at actually trying to keep like really much in touch with people when they're away from here. And so, I mean, even like shout out to JB, who's currently in Greece, like it's kind of hard sometimes to actually like think about it. Like I'll think about that I miss having him around, but then to actually think about, oh, I should update him on what's going on or ask him what's going on in his day. It can just be hard to actually like think about it and find the time for it. And so I'm curious what you guys, how you've experienced that. Cause I feel like I'm pretty bad at it in general.
I'm with you there. I do a horrible job at communicating with people that aren't in my sphere, like my physical sphere. Like, you talked about having friends out of state. One of the things that I thought of that I forgot to say was I do have some pastor friends that actually most of those relationships probably started at CBS, Calvary Bible School, and then they also became pastors. And so I connect with them at the ministers' meetings, and we might do a little bit of communicating in between, but it's not like, you know, we're constantly in communication or whatever. It's mostly when we are together that we actually communicate.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, one thing I was thinking about a little bit with community and proximity, and that is something that keeps a community alive is if you need if you literally can't survive without each other, you're going to make sure that you don't lose the other people, I think. And so something to do with proximity, like I'm thinking of in the olden days, like back in the frontier pioneer days, these people, there might have been some people living way out yonder, but really they banded together and they watched out for the Indians, and they came to each other's houses when somebody was sick because there was no doctors around. They helped. They might help with harvest mm-hmm. on one guy's farm and then go to the other guy's farm. So there was a lot of survival. And if they didn't have proximity, they didn't have a good way of communicating, I guess, and otherwise. But I think if they weren't in proximity, they didn't have community, and they needed each other to survive, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Yeah, maybe we talked about this on our other podcast too. But
I feel like you did. But
isn't it kind of weird how it's so recent that we even get to have the choice?
Right.
Like it's within the last 100 years for sure. I guess it depends what you mean by it. Like, yeah, there's Pony Express if you want to go that far back. But to actually have the potential for fairly regular conversation with someone who doesn't live within a 5-mile radius of you is a fairly recent thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very true. Well, and the crazy thing is that it's exploded beyond. I mean, we obviously had the transportation thing, but then now we have the communication mm-hmm. thing that has completely exploded, and mm-hmm. just basically you can communicate with anyone in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, right away.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird? There's billions of people out there that you could communicate with that you just choose not to because you have no reason to want to.
I don't know. It's weird, but it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, most of them speak another language, or some of them do.
But if you're communicating, say on Facebook or the millions or billions of users that use Facebook, that's true. There's not really that language barrier if you're, translate. Wild. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So, are we saying that proximity is, what was the question? Is important or is, what was the word you used?
Yeah, what did I use? I don't even remember.
Crucial, not crucial.
Well, we
is
all
proximity
sound
requirement.
Is a requirement, for developing a cell. Is that what we're saying? Or what?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I don't know what, but I think I hear you guys saying that. Like, without proximity, there might be some form of something there, but it's not really what you're.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not.
Well, I assume, I forget, it's been a while since I listened to the last episode, but did you guys define community in the last episode?
Yeah,
to a certain degree,
at least.
I think.
It was basically, we talked about how the definition of community has changed, right? Because mm-hmm. It used to mean proximity, your mm-hmm. neighborhood, your mm-hmm. neighbors, the people around you, and now it has kind of more. I think Mary maybe talked about, she thinks of it as people who are supporting her or I forget how she said it.
Kind of people you do life with?
Yeah, people you do life with was the mm-hmm. idea. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't remember who she quoted, but they said, we're looking for people who are looking for us.
That was actually Brad.
That was Brad, sorry.
Quoting Kurt Thompson.
Thank you.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Thompson, but yeah.
But really,
so kind of the idea of more like-minded, I think, rather than just in your local area or the people around you.
I remember Brandon and maybe Mary talking about common goals. So that was I think part of what we define mm-hmm. community as.
But I think of I guess you talk about common goals. I think what really makes a strong community is if your common goal is to survive.
That's fair.
Pretty invested in that.
Uh-huh.
Derek's like, let's just go back to our roots of survival.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so.
Can I just lay down some ideas?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I'm just going to say what I think I've decided, and then people can say if they think it's wrong or right or doesn't have to be wrong or right. But I would say proximity is necessary it is a requirement for a healthy community. For the best kind of community, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think you can have a form of community outside of that, but to me it tends to be way more weak and is not maybe like, I don't know if you want to say it's not true community, but it's at least not like the best version. So like, okay, one thing I think of is, and maybe some people like this, so I'm not hating, but are you guys familiar with Church Home? Is that like a familiar concept to you?
No.
It's basically like an app that's like supposed to be your church. Like you can go to church. I think you like watch sermons and there's like community, like interactive stuff on there or whatever.
Oh,
and to me,
dear.
It's just like, ugh. I like something just turns me off about that like setup. I'm not saying it can't be better than nothing. Like if you lived in a remote jungle and that was your only opportunity to go to church, like, yeah, you could find, I think, a version of community, but on the community health level, it seems like that would be less than ideal. So yeah. That's kind of where I'm at with it, that it's possible outside of proximity, but not in the best format.
I 100% agree with that. Like the whole technology thing makes it feels like it is encroaching on true community. Like people feel connected, but they're not getting the connections that they need. And that is being with people and building relationships in real life. So there's two things. Boy, let's see if I can keep these things straight. Brandon, you mentioned, that whatever app you were talking about or whatever is
Church
better.
Room, yeah,
is better than nothing, and I agree with that. But to me, technology should supplement our communities or our relationships, not be them.
Yeah,
like
I agree with that.
If it's to make so that we can keep connecting with someone that will come back, or if it's, you know, when you can't make it to church, you can plug in some way, but not as a substitute for actual community. So that's that's the one thing. I'll wait for the other thing if I can remember it for sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, is it possible to have a healthy community without knowing people?
Like, oh, without knowing people?
Like here's where I'm going with this. So I think it's you only connect with other people to the extent that you know them or know things about them or have common goals, which would be a form of knowing them. And so if you don't, the more limited your knowledge is of them, the more limited your connection is with them, and the less fulfilling the relationship is and the less solid the community is what I would say. And so when you interact with people through media, through technology, you get to know them, but you only get to know a part of them.
That's right.
You get a whole lot more knowledge of them face to face than you do when it's through a medium, because you can see body language, you can hear tone of voice. I mean, I guess some of those things you can hear tone of voice, but sometimes, like depending on your relationship with them, there's touch, there's all these things that you get to know them a lot better, and they don't have the luxury of time lapse, like, or not time lapse, but things are happening in real time. It's not like they can wait until they calm down to reply to your text message or whatever. It's just like whatever's happening is happening. Happens, and so you get to know them in a different way. And that's why I would argue that proximity is important for strong communities, because you get to know people better, and then you can work together better. You can bond, you can connect better if you're intentional about it.
That's right.
Brad, I like what you said about like technology being like supplemental instead of primary. I think that works mostly across the board. I'm not even quite sure how I feel about that, depending what the scenario is, because it's been a couple years ago where like me and some like quite a few of my friends like did like a social media fast kind of all at the same time.
Okay.
So like when we actually got together, it felt like a different kind of connection, because no one had seen what anyone else was doing by and large. And so then it was actually like, oh, everything was like, you just had to rely on the actual in-person social aspect of it. And this is just my memory, so this could be skewed, but so I think supplemental is still a good thing. Obviously, there's situations where it's like, if you can't be in proximity, then it certainly can be helpful because you don't have any in-person options. But I think I'd be a little careful to supplement it too fast if it is someone you can relate with in person instead. So I don't know. That's my take. Also, I shouldn't hate too hard on Church Home, because I've never actually used it, and I could be wrong. That's what I understand as like kind of the... the thesis for it. So it could be a great app, and maybe it's used way differently than what I realized, but that's my understanding of it. So I was more using that as an example than that I know that much about it itself.
Yeah, that's fair.
So what's Brad's second thing? Because we're kind of running short on time.
So I don't know if you remember, Brandon, way back in the live show, I think it was your kind of spicy was about what, a digital yacht or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. And basically
that was the first time I had known that, you know, some people kind of live digital lives and they like, they have this whole other life in that. But I just remember being horrified when you talked about some of those things, how people like they would spend actual money to get things in their digital world, mm-hmm. and that they're just building this other world, and it somehow like freaked me out. And mm-hmm. I think just as I was thinking about what we're talking about tonight earlier, that's why, because there's something wrong about just doing. You can interact with people, you can have your digital world, but it's not actually real life, mm-hmm. and you're going to be missing things that I think are really, really important. Mm-hmm. To life.
So maybe what you're saying is that if we're saying that like digital, like, okay, proximity is required for like the more deeper levels mm-hmm. of community, maybe we could add in addition to that, that everyone needs to have some kind of deeper levels of community, that it's not healthy to have completely shallow, mm-hmm. like maybe shallow communities, it's okay to have some of those, mm-hmm. but you need that to be balanced with the actual real deal of deeper communities.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Like if you're exclusively have the shallow ones, like that, not that they can't be good things, but if, mm-hmm. if that's what all you have, then yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah. Frankly, you're missing out at that point.
Yeah. Anyone else have things to say?
No. I think it was a good discussion.
I was hoping someone would disagree more. You guys were all just like,
oh, man.
We're all just too agreeable, I guess.
I almost feel like I should have gotten Landon on for this discussion.
We probably should have, actually.
Get the Gen Z on, see what he wants to say. Well, you're Gen Z, too.
Oh, you sounded like a grandpa.
I thought of that. One thing I thought of while I was listening to the last episode, and I felt like it was coming through, but I felt like I should, what I wanted to say, what I would have added at the time would have been that it seems like the best forms of community are, you're in the community because you live here, not, mm-hmm. you're not because you think exactly the same way as mm-hmm. everybody else, or you're exactly like-minded or all that. You're in the community because you're here, mm-hmm. uh-huh. and we're going to figure out a way to work together in that community.
Yeah.
And that's what helps make your community stronger, mm-hmm. that needing to make it work together. Mm-hmm. There are times that can be really unhealthy too, but
right.
if people are stuck in places mm-hmm. that they just can't handle or whatever, but mm-hmm. by and large, people run from that more than mm-hmm. they should. The uncomfortable, mm-hmm. we think different, but we're all here, mm-hmm. and it can be a really, really strong, healthy thing.
Yep. And another positive spin to put on it is I feel like oftentimes when community feels like the most fulfilling or the strongest is when it's actually not like the little group of people that you would have hand selected. I think that's part of the disadvantage sometimes of mm-hmm. like more digital communities is that it can be more, it's not always, but it can be more like you choose like who you want to associate mm-hmm. with or who's in the group, which definitely can have some perks, but it can have some downsides, because I feel like we probably have all experienced it where you kind of had a chance for a hangout or party or whatever, where you kind of got to have exactly the people you'd mm-hmm. want. And in my experience, it's often actually not as great as when it happens more organically with a random group of people that maybe it's people you would have thought got along fine, or maybe it's just kind of a ho-hum group that you would not have imagined it being as much fun as it was. Mm-hmm. But because of some of that variety and diversity, it's actually more strengthening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I love some of the things you talked about there with, you know, we don't, I think a lot of church, partly because I'm a pastor, but, you know, yep. we don't handpick who's at church. We don't say, well, hopefully we don't say, well, I can't get along with you, and so I'm just going to shut you out of my life. We work through things, and I think that's where the strength of community is, when you're forced to do more than just feel good about yourself mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. be challenged and grow in those ways. So.
Yep, that's good. Good stuff.
Okay, well, I think that's it for Open for Debate.
This may or may not be used against us.
Okay. Yeah, Landon has too much power.
Too much.
Are we ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Kind of Spicy. How you feeling? Spicy?
I don't know. Feeling that like was a mild peppercino.
Are you?
Yeah.
What is that?
Hey, now I know how to say that.
Is that how you say it?
No, I don't know.
I still
don't know how to say it.
Little green peppers you get with Papa John's pizza.
Oh.
Oh, question. Do you guys squeeze the juice out of those things, or do you put them on your pizza, or do you just leave them in the box, or?
I never know what to do with them, so I don't know.
Because I'm always like, I always
like
hope
rejecting a free gift.
I always hope for the juicy ones so you can squeeze the juice on your pizza, but then you get the dry ones, and it's like, well, I should probably be eating the thing, and I like them. I actually started eating
them. If I'm feeling adventurous, I will eat at least part of one, but they get pretty hot for me. So.
Really?
I've never done anything but look at them.
Yeah, same here. Well, and throw them away.
Or they just stay in the box in the corner.
Do you eat the garlic sauce?
Oh, yeah. With the crust.
Yeah.
That stuff is so fake.
It depends on my mood.
I wish they put pizza sauce in there so the garlic.
That would be good.
The garlic's good, but I'd rather have pizza sauce.
How about Parmesan cheese?
Ooh.
Eesh.
Overrated.
Would that
but
be too much
be okay.
to ask?
Apparently.
No, you can get it. You can get it for free there, Derek.
That's true. Nobody does, though. People forget.
Just get a little packets.
Just on Saturday night, Dad brought a whole bunch home, but he completely forgot it in his pocket for the entirety of the meal. So
I love it.
Question, he got enough Parmesan cheese for you in his pocket?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
How in the world?
They're not schmookers.
Because, frankly concerning.
Because one little packet of Parmesan cheese is enough for... Like, you need like four or five packets for a piece of pizza, right?
Like two.
It's just like putting sawdust on your pizza, but okay.
Okay, that Parmesan is like sawdust because it literally has sawdust in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
it has cellulose in it.
Ew.
It's an anti-caking thing. I mean,
it's not as bad as you think it is.
You can taste it. So it's
well, maybe that stuff.
I don't know about that.
I don't bother with that stuff. Pizza shouldn't need Parmesan.
It shouldn't.
I'll put Parmesan on spaghetti or something.
I do it occasionally, but not all the time.
It's a little good. Fresh. To each their own.
Parmigiano Reggiano.
Okay. Who's doing the first Kind of Spicy?
I think you're the dictator here.
I'm the dictator? I think you go first.
No, because I went first last time.
But I'm the dictator.
Get reverse dictatored.
How about you just leave my dictatorial country?
Uno reverse.
Okay. Derek, how about you go first then?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's roll. Landon, are you ready to play this audio here in a second? Okay.
Oh, he has audio. He's
but
got
maybe,
like
maybe,
special effects.
Maybe mute it for a second. Maybe mute it for a second because it's probably going to be an ad because it's YouTube. Anyway, no, I'll give a little backstory. I've always been, what's the word I want? Enchanted? No.
Intrigued.
Intrigued. Thank
Bamboozled.
You. I've been intrigued enthralled. By auctions and the North American auction chant. And if you don't know what it is, I'm going to play a little clip of it. For just a couple minutes here, and you can just enjoy the sounds of the auction chant in North America. Okay,
I've never heard it referred to as a chant, but we'll get to that.
Isn't it a cry?
Never heard it referred to as North American.
Then again, I haven't seen
places do it differently.
I haven't seen a lot of people from Africa doing this.
Let's talk about that later. Hang on, let's see what he's got.
What is going on with my phone? It's glitching.
That's a weird chant.
What is happening?
Never heard that one before.
I don't think this is the North American version.
Oh, there we go. Oh, what in the? My phone is having issues.
Oh.
This thing, I think it's controlling.
What's?
I think it might be. We can pin this one.
Whoa. Hang on a minute. It's the cord is doing something weird.
Okay.
Hang on. We're just going to play it. Can we just play it in my mic?
Yeah just, sure.
Just go on the other side
of
your
mic, Derek.
Yeah. Gotcha.
By the toner symbol.
All right. I'm sorry. This is challenging.
Here we go. Hit a 26, hit a 7, hit a 2700, hit a 630, hit a 2700, now wait, hit a 2800, hit a 28, now 3, hit a $3,000, hit a 300, hit a bumper, now 3, hit a 28, hit a 3, hit a $3,000, hit a 28, hit a 3, hit a 300, hit a bumper, now 3, hit a $3,000.
$1,000 on the deal. Hit him at three. Yeah, just sit here and enjoy this for a minute. It's even better that the quality is bad, because that's how it always is at about.
Yeah, I know, exactly. The quality is always speaking.
Always awful.
Yeah.
All right, I'll stop.
Did any of the rest of you, like, get... Like,
wait, was that Morris?
Feeling?
Yeah,
you heard that?
It was Morris.
Was it actually
he's
Morris?
He's a local auctioneer.
Just
one
at the end,
around.
I was like, wait, that's Morris.
I thought it sounded like Morris from the start, and I really wondered if it wasn't.
Yeah, I picked him because he's one of my favorite auctioneers locally. I mean, whatever. There's a lot of good ones around here. But I've always been intrigued by the way that works, and I think you were about to lead into my... Like, there's something psychological about the auction chant, the auction cry, whatever you want to call it, that it's made to draw you in and make you engage with the sale of whatever they're selling.
Hmm.
It's very interesting, but...
So you say it's like a form of marketing?
It basically is, but I did learn that it's unique to North America.
It is.
It was developed... And people don't... I wanted to know where it came from. Mm-hmm. Nobody really seems to know. There's no really consensus. There's some speculation, but nothing real concrete. I do think I heard a couple of places that they said it was developed around the time of the Civil War. So that's kind of when that way of auctioneering came about. But other than that, nobody really knows, other than it just kind of slowly evolved into what it is today. But yeah, it's very unique, and it's a series of numbers. People, the auctioneer is giving you a chance to bid on the bid he's calling. So he's saying what he's got. He's got somebody that's willing to give this amount of money. Will you give the next up amount? Whether he's jumping up $2.50 or $25 or $100, whatever increment he's moving you by, he's trying to get you to bid, or somebody to bid the next one up. And it's just fascinating that in the psychology. How many of you guys have bid on auctions and bought stuff? I mean, I assume everybody has.
It's a rush every single time.
Oh, yeah, I know. Seriously. That's what I'm saying. It's
much fun.
It's great fun. Yeah, I until the last couple of years, I didn't really get a chance to actually bid in auctions, but I really enjoy it. And it's fun to watch people who, like, well, benefit auctions are a lot of fun because it's all going to a good cause, and a lot of the stuff isn't super duper high value, although there are a lot of fairly high value items there too. But it's just fascinating. But yeah, the psychology of it is something that I don't know. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can string words and filler words together, numbers and filler words together that quickly is also just a feat of amazingness.
It's like an art form, kind of, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that is interesting to think of it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much on specifics of the actual history of it. Apparently, it just kind of evolved, and it is what it is. So I was hoping there was some interesting history there, but I don't know that there really is. Yeah. But it is unique to North America. They don't really have it other places. That's one thing I did learn. I was curious about that, and I think it is pretty much North American.
Interesting.
Huh. Well, it's one of those things you could pretty easily squint and kind of see how it probably got started. I mean, it kind of is kind of a rolling ramble a little bit that doesn't really make sense. So if someone wanted to have an auction, like have people come and bid, what are you going to do? Say, like, how much will you give me? And then just have awkward silence. Like, eventually it kind of seems like it could morph into what it is today.
Yeah, if you want to cringe, look up English auctions, like...
I
like
was
in
wondering,
England.
How do they
do
it?
Yeah,
how
do they do it?
Different. Not as cool.
Cringe-worthy, apparently.
But like, what do they do?
They
like,
talk, though?
Do they talk the same way?
No, it's like...
Do you have a clue?
All right, we have this painting. We have this painting here. What will you give him? Give me 3 biscuits.
Wait, what?
3 pounds. Will you give me 3 pounds? And then... All right, we have 3 pounds over here. Will you give me 4 pounds?
Oh, so
it's just kind of
slow.
It's just slow, painful.
Gotcha.
Boring.
Did you know that some auctions, I'm not sure, I think it's other countries that do this. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this happens in the U.S. too, I'm not sure. But some auctions start at the top of the, like, of the dollar amount and come down, and once they get a bid,
yeah,
that's what it sells for.
I've heard of that.
I have heard of that.
I kind
of
hate that psychologically.
It's messed up.
It seems like it'd be so high pressure. But then you would give your top dollar. I mean,
yeah,
because as soon as someone bids, it's gone.
Yeah. So the thing is that you only need one person to get their top dollar, so two.
Right.
You miss out on the possibility of people getting in their feelings and just keeping bidding just to spite because
I want to win. Yeah.
But that's then true. You also get in on where, like, only one person wants it and then they just
Badly do you want it?
Yeah. It's also way more efficient. Possibly.
Hypothetically.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a really high stakes game of chicken. But in the other sense, though, sometimes bidding up can be a high stakes game of chicken.
Yeah. Can definitely be that.
Because if you just want to bid somebody up and then leave... just to spite
you, you better be okay with what you're bidding, though.
Yeah,
because you might get stuck.
You might get stuck.
You know how auctioneers sometimes like appraise a thing right before they sell it.
Yeah,
like they'll throw out a high like $2,000, and then they'll start at like $500 or whatever, and go up from there. It was a benefit auction, but I was at an auction where the auctioneer threw out like kind of the appraisal. Oh, that's what I took it to be.
Yep,
and someone bid. And nobody else bid. And so he got it for that.
The auctioneer accept that? Like,
no, you can actually, like,
they do kind of start it. Like, often they'll be like, who give me whatever, just kind of get it going, and then they'll drop down.
Yeah,
and
frankly,
so if someone just raised their hand, like, oh, well, I guess we gotta
frankly,
bid.
Frankly, I mean, you can bid on that.
You don't want to bid
as long
too
as they're saying numbers.
You gotta wait till it's time.
You gotta
to
let
get
them
in.
Free fall a little bit and hit the bottom, and then you start going.
Yep.
At the same time, though, if you're willing to give whatever they're asking, just get in there and do it.
Especially a benefit auction.
Yeah. Right.
It drives me crazy when people are just like, not bidding. Oh, and then he comes down for it. Oh, then they start bidding and gets up to where he was earlier. It's like, why didn't you jump in sooner?
We just wasted all that time.
Yeah,
it is super annoying. You know, it's funny watching. It's always interesting how it always ends up being two people at the, like, it usually boils down to two people that really want this thing, and they'll go back and forth a dozen times. And then sometimes, just as one hops out, a new person hops in, like not even waiting, just waiting till they had a chance to get in.
At that point, I'm like, okay, where were you this entire time? Like, pay attention.
But just they might have been waiting
yeah,
until the net, till the turn, you know?
Yeah. Using psychological warfare to outlast the opponent.
Well, that can mess with you, too, if you're like, oh, I outlast that guy. What? Where'd you come
another
from?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many of you wanted to be auctioneers at some point in your life?
Oh boy, I don't know.
I think you have.
I don't know that everyone.
Really right now, I kind of
you do. Oh, sweet, we got it right now.
I wish actually, I could just rattle it off right now.
Not like for real, but I think it could be kind of fun.
I think it's probably partly my personality, but it always, like, when I actually think about it, it stresses me out.
Really,
like, to think about. I think it's cool that they can do it.
Yeah.
But it's just so much stuff going through your mind, and I know they get kind of automatic with it. But wow, like it's too much for me.
I've heard that's good money, so that seems kind of cool. But like the actual job itself, I don't know, it doesn't intrigue me that much.
I don't know. That's all I got. If you have more questions, fire them. But it's just an intriguing and interesting topic to me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, fascinating.
Okay, Brad, your
turn.
I'm
up. All right, sweet. How many of you have heard of the musical piece called 4 minutes 33 seconds or 4:33?
Yes, I think so.
Don't think I have.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, at least if I remember it right.
What do you remember of it?
It's basically a guy took a piano out on a New York sidewalk and put a recorder on top.
And did not
play anything, just listened to the sounds of the city.
I don't even know exactly what he did with it, but that's the essence
sounds,
of the piece.
It's sounds of the city,
it's
basically.
The sound of, well, let me just read a little bit here from Wikipedia. Actually, it was composed by John Cage. It's composed in 1952 for any instrument or combination of instruments, and the score instructs performers not to play their instruments during the entire duration of the piece throughout the three movements.
Oh,
so the piece consists of the sounds of the environment that the listeners hear while it is performed.
So it's just sitting
in
silence?
It's silence, but then he specifically says that you're supposed to listen to what you hear. Like, it's not simply silence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I argue that it's not technically a musical piece.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so, like, when my son Zachary asked me if I had ever heard of it before, I hadn't, and I was kind of fascinated by it. But my first thought was, well, that's dumb, because this is not a musical piece.
And it's
not.
4 minutes and 33 seconds
it's,
of this,
it's,
right?
You're supposed to do it, it's, to not play for 4 minutes and 33 seconds, precisely, yes.
Okay.
But I am a little bit intrigued by the idea of simply sitting and listening to what you hear for that long.
That's like, a long time.
It is a long
that's
time.
That's a really long mm-hmm. time.
And I think it's kind of a neat exercise. So while I'm frustrated by someone calling this a musical composition, uh-huh. I think it's pretty neat. It's kind of a neat idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you do go to a concert and they play supposedly this piece, well, then it gives you a chance to what do I hear, to be observant. Or if you just mm-hmm. I don't even know if you can listen to it. I don't know if it's somewhere on Spotify or not. I never thought of even looking it up, but anyway.
Oh, that is interesting and weird.
So, but anyway, so the whole thing to me is maddening and cool at the same time. Anyway,
huh. That's never all heard I have that for, before. That's for very kind of spicy. Fascinating.
I think the guy was a little bit different. I'm not sure what other stuff he had, but and it actually did in relation to this piece, it talks some about Zen or that type of thing. So, you know, I'm not.
It's definitely on Spotify. Do you want to hear it?
It's on Spotify. Yes, let's hear it.
Wait for it.
Oh, wait. I'm connecting my Bluetooth speaker. Hang on a second.
Whoop.
Let's try this again.
Wait for it again. You got to hold it around the right side of the mic, Crystal.
Wait. Isn't there another song with the same name?
Is it playing? Maybe this is the point.
I think so.
Isn't this what it's supposed to be, though?
I assume so. Yeah, it's playing.
It's called 433.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
So the question is,
I could hear something.
I could hear some things, yeah.
And there's lyrics. I couldn't load lyrics for this song.
Oh.
So there's not lyrics. Okay. We could do our own 433 on the podcast.
I'm just thinking about the fact that Our producer talks about listeners dropping out during dead spots in the podcast. They're like, we're playing Landon, something, we promise.
Landon's gonna edit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. You couldn't hear it very well. I doubt it came through the mics very well, but there was a little bit of like,
yeah,
like noise of an environment.
I heard it.
There was like a little bit of someone dropped something and there was, I don't know. So,
wow, that is
still
interesting.
Not music, but.
So there's a song called The Sound of Silence, so would that work for this?
Mm-hmm. I guess. Oh, here's 433 death metal cover.
What?
What? Okay, let's hear that.
Wait a minute.
Okay, let's hear that, Derek. What do we got?
They're just standing there doing nothing.
Well, that's what they're supposed
Wait,
to do.
Are they actually?
Can you hear anything, though?
Hang on. I have no idea.
That's exactly what they're supposed to do. So basically, you stand there holding an instrument, not doing
oh,
anything.
Oh, they might actually be.
Or whatever. Yeah, buy an instrument.
Well, it's ironic. The point is, they're not playing. It doesn't matter what kind of musical instruments
exactly.
you have.
Yeah.
Yeah,
interesting.
Great.
Wowzers.
Okay, I'm done.
Awesome.
Oh, okay, it's my turn.
So is that are we supposed to sit and listen for 4 minutes and 33 seconds and see what...
Do that sometime.
Try it.
Before next podcast.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Be a good idea. Should do it sometime.
So the headline of My Kind of Spicy reads... Cobra dies after being bitten by 8-year-old boy in India.
Sounds about right.
This is on brand, Christian.
Bruh.
Snakes and death.
Death and snakes.
Liquid this death.
Is that what I do?
Venn diagram of
oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. I didn't even think of that.
He's fascinated
Chris
by
like,
death.
I accidentally just found the perfect kind of spicy.
Accidentally. No, actually, I think this kind of spicy is a little bit lame. I'm going to be honest.
No, because another podcast had it on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, it makes it even more lame. But I was cramming I was slaying for time, so it was my fallback. But basically, 8-year-old boy in India is outside doing something or other, playing, I suppose, and a cobra comes up and wraps itself around his arm and bites him. And so he bites back twice. He bites the snake twice, and the snake dies.
Ew!
And so his parents rush him to the hospital of course, and they find out that the snake didn't release any venom. It was a dry bite, so he was okay.
Oh.
But the snake died.
So the snake was just saying hi, and this boy goes full psycho.
How did the snake die from him biting it?
I don't know.
Use your imagination.
He did release venom? I don't know. I mean,
biting.
This kid is not safe.
If you look at his at the picture they have of him, he does look like he has quite the teeth. I don't know. not like terrible, but yeah, just Google it. You'll see what I mean.
What a deal.
So I think it's kind of on brand for a child to, you know, bite back.
I know. It was like it was his first impulse.
I just can't imagine actually biting a snake. That sounds just
not me. Quote, the snake got wrapped around my hand and bit me. I was in great pain. As the reptile didn't budge when I tried to shake it off, I bit it hard twice. It all happened in a flash, he said.
Wow.
That's great.
So also 85% of snake bite deaths recorded in 2019 occurred in India.
That's maybe what percent?
85%.
Oh,
guess they're off my travel list.
Okay, but that was snake bite death. So it's probably partly because there's less like good medical facilities close by to some of these places that people are getting bitten.
Doesn't make me feel better.
Well, I know. Just
could be partly why it's
just facts.
That's all I have. But it's one of those.
So to be fair,
I think can we throw India into my kind of spicy Venn diagram?
Spicy, sure.
Because I remember the story about the monkeys that happened in India. So death snakes in India.
Yep.
Just kind of that's where my
and I really appreciate that out. Your death was not a person this time.
It wasn't. No, it was a snake. Yes. The snake died.
That is a nice touch.
Not a person or a puppy. It was a snake.
Okay, so for my kind of spice, I'm curious, how many of you guys are familiar with Space 220? Does anyone know what I'm referring to when I say Space 220?
I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't remember what it is.
Space 220. It's actually a restaurant. Does that help you out at all?
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Didn't help.
Nope. Okay, so Space 220, it is a restaurant actually at Walt Disney World in Florida. So it was established in September of 2021, so about a year ago. And it's a space-themed restaurant, but the part about this restaurant that makes it so amazing is that guests are brought into the dining area through a journey of 220 miles up. So you travel up 220 miles into this like space capsule for your meal. How cool is that?
Wait, this is in where? Disneyland?
Yes. So there's like this track with this like elevator rocket thing that goes up 220.
Are you serious?
I gotta give a shout out to my sources because my sister Kim actually like recommended this as my kind of spicy, and so I was like, okay, this is interesting. We're gonna talk about this.
220 miles.
No, wait,
yeah.
A track.
Yes.
What?
I know, it didn't make sense when I heard it.
Okay, so you gotta explain.
Okay. What happens? I'll explain. So basically, let me see here. They've been working on it for several years, and it's now open. There's like videos of people like doing this thing. So basically, let me find my notes here a little bit. So before entering, guests are handed boarding passes, and they enter the restaurant through a journey of 220 miles up to the Centauri space station through a space elevator called the Stellavator. So you're riding this like space elevator thing that's on a track. You can see videos of people like going up, and the ceiling is glass and the floor is glass. So you can like see yourself going up and down. Now it is just a simulator, which is a little bit too bad because hold up. I was not told this was a simulator.
My emotions have just been.
I'm trying to decide
bamboozled.
If I should accuse you of lying or not.
Well, okay. Yeah. See, I mean, okay. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but it's definitely presented to me as a real thing. So I decided to just give you guys the full experience. But
okay.
I was starting to have all kinds of scientific questions.
Yeah. I know. That was my question. I was
like,
wait, how does this work?
Nauseous by the time you get there? And like,
and also like how long?
How does this thing stay attached to the earth?
The
when
videos
the earth,
I was being shown was that it was going like way too fast for like humanly possible like travel. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whoa, okay, this is strange. But okay, that all jokes aside, it is actually still a cool idea. Like, I would still do it. Okay.
I'll let you defend that.
Okay, hold up. So, first of all, it does, like I said, it has a glass floor. Look up videos, because I know this is like an audio medium, but you should look it up. Like, Landon, are you looking it up, or what's the thumbs up about?
I'm just standing
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay, cool.
Landon's just on Snapchat.
Landon's just doing his thing.
Last month it was football. This month it's Snapchat.
I know, right? I mean,
doing his digital community.
Kristen, so like when you like take off, it looks like you're leaving like Disney World, and then you're leaving Florida. Like they actually simulate like if you were flying up from that particular spot, and then when you get up there, you step out of the elevator, and like the doors open, and it's like a massive like window bay area. Like there's the tables and stuff. But it's like different, like it's the world, like you're kind of at the edge of the world where you can see everything, and obviously like it's all screens, but they have like daytime and nighttime, like they make it look actually really super realistic.
Okay, that's cool.
So
that's
at first I was like, okay, this is really cool, when I was thinking it was actually space, and then when I figured out the logistics and realized it wasn't actually space, then I was like, eh. But then I was like, you know what? I would still do that. Like,
Okay.
A lot of the people that tried it were like, it was very worth the weird kind of like futuristic out of this world experience. Mm-hmm. Plus, their food is supposed to be actually really good. Mm-hmm. They have space greens.
Oh, we got pictures showing from a picture.
Like, I think it just looks kind of cool.
Oh, that looks pretty neat.
That's pretty neat, actually.
Yeah, you can go ahead and Google it. It's called, for those that are wanting to look it up, it's the Space 220 restaurant. They have, their menu is really cheesy, but they have space greens, which is salad, and they have starry calamari, and they have
okay, that has a nice ring to it.
Neptune tartare, which is like yellowfin tuna, apparently. So they have a bunch of weird, like space themed food items. But I'm like, for $80, I would do it.
$80.
Okay, but this is also like Disney World.
Is this all you can eat?
Yeah. What?
What kind of?
I saw the pictures. And there was like some pretty gourmet looking.
Are you getting
food.
A boarding pass for $80, or are you getting the food and a boarding pass for $80?
Honestly, I'm not entirely. I think the food, like I think your park passes would be separate, but I think the experience was like $80.
Okay.
Like it was maybe the. I shouldn't say because now I'm not sure, but I was reading it as like getting into the restaurant and the food was $80, but you'd of course had to pay for your, like park passes on top of that or whatever, but. I don't know. Okay, let me just read a little bit.
Maybe we could do that once we make enough on Patreon. Oh.
So it's there? Based on a space station.
It's going to be a while.
Let's hitchhike down there to save money.
Yeah. So then,
what Brandon's trying to talk.
Though it does not actually leave the ground, the elevator allows guests to look through the viewing screens to see themselves lift off from Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one it is, in the bottom screen and into the space station on the top screen. So after exiting the elevator, and of course there's like those weird like automated voices, like you've arrived at your destination and whatever.
Yep.
After exiting the elevator, guests walk into a long neon hallway with a circular rotating vegetable garden called the Growth Zone, which contains items from the menu. It is based on the vegetable production systems found in real space stations. So they actually modeled it some after like how a space station might actually be. So the hallway leads guests into the dining area with several floor-to-ceiling windows lined up across the exterior wall of the dining room. Daytime and nighttime simulated views of the Earth can be seen through the windows alongside floating astronauts, flying dogs, and other space stations. So
oh,
it's kind of
okay.
Some, I mean, you know, they throw in some weird, like, more kids stuff, or there's some cartoon characters out there and whatnot. But yeah, I just think it sounds fun.
So do you think there's parents that are doing the Santa Claus thing with this? Like,
boy.
Telling their children it's real?
I'm sure there are.
I'm sure there are.
100%.
Yeah, but how do they not think about that there's still the same gravity that when they left?
Oh,
kids don't think about that.
No, I mean, if certain people that I know like totally fell for this, then I'm pretty sure the kids could fall for this. So lunch at the restaurant.
Wait, well, thank you.
Lunch at the restaurant includes one liftoff, which is like your starter, like your appetizer, and one star course, which is your entree. And dinner comes with the same menu, but with different star courses. So they kind of mix it up a little bit depending, depending on what you're going for. But anyway, I just thought it sounded kind of novel. And mostly I had to do it after I got kind of tricked into thinking it was real.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
That was good.
That's good.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing about Disney World and Land is I don't know which one is which, so I always have to ask, is that the California one or the Florida one?
I know. It's the
Disneyland worst. Is in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said it, so I knew this time.
Yeah,
but
it's Disney World. I would not have known either.
Wait, what did you say?
Disney World is in Florida.
Oh, I just said it wrong.
Wait, I thought you said Disney World.
No, I said Disneyland.
Oh. I think, I heard that, and I was like, I can't even remember which one it was.
Shows you how much matter. I know.
But are they the same thing, though? Like, basically?
I think there's some differences, actually. Like, I think they have kind of specific attractions that aren't necessarily at both of them. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that.
Cool.
Hope I never go.
There you go.
Okay, I think that's it for Kinda Spicy. Okay, welcome back from break. I hope you enjoyed the relaxing music or whatever Landon put in there. Brad, you have a new segment to introduce to us.
I have a new segment for us all. It is called Is This Good? And so what's going to happen is we're each going to put out a subject or a topic, and then we'll go around and say if we think it's good or not. And then if we're split two and two, we'll get Landon involved to see if we can get a final authority on it. So this is mostly just for fun, but some slightly controversial topics that we can discuss and see what we come to on it. So the first one, I'll bring the first one here, and it is pop sockets. Are these good?
No. Barely.
Yes. Oh, guys. Yes, pop sockets are decidedly good.
There's got to be a better way.
Well, especially since Brad has a MagSafe pop socket, which is extremely bougie, but I'm like, that's what I want.
What is a MagSafe pop
socket? Okay, so the worst part about pop sockets is the fact that once you stick them on a case,
yes,
you're like married to it, more or less. Because you can't look at Brad's phone right now. You can't that well take a pop socket.
But I just got engaged. I don't want to be married to something else.
You can't very well take a pop socket off of a case and reuse it somewhere else. So it's basically that pop socket has to stay on that case.
And then you have this little sticky thing on your case.
Brad has a magnetic phone that you can stick a magnetic pop socket on to where you could take it off whenever you wanted to if you got tired of it and then put it back on whenever you wanted to.
Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah. MagSafe pop socket's good. Normal pop socket's bad. Because I don't want a bump, an extra bump on my phone in my pocket.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's just going to get in my way more than I'm going
to
use it.
And I most, yeah, I've just kind of got used to not ever having a pop socket.
Says the person trying to prop up his
socket,
phone against a water picture to watch some YouTube.
Hey, the table's slippery.
I mean, I'm just saying. Well, pop socket came in clutch.
And usually I prop it up in portrait mode. I was trying to prop it up in landscape, and it wasn't working.
So have you guys... So far we've got Brandon, yes, they're good. Derek and Kristen are saying, no, they're not good. Have the two no's said if you've ever actually had one on your phone?
I've never had one on my phone.
Here's my experience with pop sockets. I'm saying they're good. I didn't even put that out there. But I was very skeptical of them when I first saw them. I thought, that's dumb. It's going to be hard to put in my pocket. It's unnecessary. It's going to get in the way. The more I looked at them, the more I thought, maybe I should give them a chance. I found one at a secondhand store for 79 cents. So I decided it was worth the effort and money and put it on my phone. And this was a permanent one. And I loved it. Like, it is so much easier to handle your phone. It didn't get in my way in my pocket like I thought it would.
Just security
and
there's
security. And it makes a beautiful stand. And so I was convinced pretty quickly. But I'm much more convinced with the MagSafe, like Brandon said. Yeah. Because
how much
removable.
Did the MagSafe cost you, though? 79 cents?
No. See, I saved all the money on the other one, so I could splurge on the MagSafe.
Right.
I think they were about $30.
Oh.
Okay. So that's pricey.
Yeah,
but
it's going like 15.
but if and maybe you could find them cheaper somewhere.
Well, you also have like Pop Socket brand, too.
Yeah,
so you can
talk with
Santa
Claus.
There are almost
that.
No non-Pop Socket ones because they are very...
patent heavy.
Yes, they will go after people if it's too close to their design.
Take
like they're serious. So
now, but say it again. You're like the real pop sockets.
Like there may be some fake ones out there, but they'll go after people.
They will pop you
for,
in the socket yeah.
for patent.
You're saying for
copyright,
having
whatever
name,
infringement
for
yes.
having their name on it.
No, Oof, not though. Name. Just
oh,
just the design.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So, and I was actually a little bit unimpressed with them for doing that, but they've got a good thing going, so who can blame them for wanting to protect them?
I mean, it's also like they're one lane. Like, yeah. If someone steals your design for that, you're pretty much destroyed as a business.
So, what's the difference between the MagSafe one or whatever you have on your phone and, like that looks pretty much like a regular pop socket to me.
The others, I mean, this actually technically is just a little bit thicker because it's got this whole thing here that no one can see besides the people in the studio, but the other one just has, well, it's actually not thicker. There's just more to it. The other one is just... It's less than this even.
Gotcha.
It's basically this size that sticks directly to your phone case.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But this one's magnetic, so you can take it off.
Yeah, the only thing with the magnetic is you can take it off.
Yes.
I have a MagSafe wallet,
brilliant.
Which is kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can take it off whenever you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, I know Landon was booing over there, but we're going to have to ask him to split here. Landon, have you ever used a pop socket?
No. Okay.
All right. All right.
Okay, so
hold on a second. I don't know.
Adjust the sensor.
I had a pop socket on one of my phones for like its whole life, which was about 2.5 years. So I had one for a good portion of my life. I think it really comes down to who you are. I okay. have no problem.
Don't give us subjective answers. Like
I have
that.
No problem holding my phone. The whole thing of I can't hold it makes so I can hold my phone better. I don't really get that unless you just have. I don't know, carpal tunnel or something. So I guess
well, it's like that, a kind of gigantic fingies.
In
like
that
mine,
case, but... I don't want to go through the effort of unsocketing the pocket every time I want to like, I don't know, grip it better.
Every time you want to throw your phone on the concrete.
And, yeah. Oh. And the whole thing about being able to remove it, I would just never remember where I put it, or I would never put the effort to put it on the phone itself. So I don't think that would help me at all. And I've never dropped my phone on. Unintentionally.
I was like, what? Landon's what? Never dropped
his phone. And
so you've intentionally dropped your phone?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, everyone throws it on the couch, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay,
on,
okay.
Your
yeah,
foot.
Whatever.
So it's going to have to be a no from me because there's no pros.
Oof.
Okay.
All right, so the podcast, unfortunately, is saying no, but that doesn't mean that they aren't good. All right, Derek,
fair enough.
Derek, you're up next.
Oh, okay. All right, hang on a second. Let me unlock my phone so I can make sure. Okay. All right. This is a good controversial one. Okay, is it good? Plain sparkling water.
No,
but I barely ever had
the,
it. So
the key
sure
word being
say.
Plain.
Exactly.
I like flavored sparkling water, but I don't think
yeah,
plain sparkling water
I'm there.
Is good.
And have you tried it?
I'm not sure.
I'm frankly not sure.
Because it's, I say yes, it's good.
Well, where's the plain sparkling water, Derek?
On a plane.
What?
Well, like, what? It is plain, but it's also on a plane.
Why did you not bring
some for us?
Is that
the only time you
us?
Drink it?
Yeah, yeah when actually, do you that, drink it?
What?
You pick?
No, when you want.
Sparkling water on a plane?
When yeah. when you're enjoying
no,
life
you
and you feel like
juice.
It's a little too good to be true.
What?
You drink
no.
Why?
Yeah. Wrong answer.
Listen, tomato juice.
Nope, whoop. Hey, that's, you can bring that for another time.
That's a whole okay. other can of worms.
Can it, Muffy? No pun
can
intended.
Can of tomato juice, as it were.
Yeah. Derek and I just made simultaneous
you all
can
chill.
Jokes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
so
it's
very
good. Do you
good.
Drink it otherwise or just when you're traveling or what?
I don't know. The only time okay. I had it was on a plane, but
Derek,
it's good.
Hold up. You can't argue it's good because obviously the only thing better than plain, I mean, not the only thing, but like what? Why would you pick plain when you could have flavored, which is obviously going to be better than plain?
Well, they didn't have flavored there, and
then
I realized
a supply and demand problem.
How good the plane was, and then
oh, dear.
Like I asked for it on the second plane ride because I liked it so well the first time, and I didn't really want pop, soda pop, or anything else. I just like wanted some water, but I just wanted not boring water.
Okay. Well, sorry to tell you, but
yeah, we don't even need Landon on this one.
I think there's more to do with your mood on the plane than anything else.
And I was mm-hmm. feeling bougie, and I felt like rich people would drink this stuff. Rich, okay. healthy people.
There's okay. like, maybe if I start drinking this, they'll magically move me to first class or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you chose the sparkling water? Well, let me show you a different scene. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. I'm done. Yeah. That's
okay.
all I got.
Yeah, okay. Podcast said it's not good.
Hmm. I'm trying to say which one we go first. We're going to go with the listening to podcast on anything. I'm just going to say anything.
Oh, he's changing
faster
it up.
Than
okay. Go for it.
Regular speed.
Is it good?
Is it good?
No.
If I have to give a yes or no, it's going to be no.
Okay.
No. Or like if I had to pick one side or the other, totally.
Derek,
what's this on the fence stuff, Brad?
Well, listen, what I put it on the chat was 2X.
Okay, let's do 2X then. Let's
2X
just do
that. Is out.
Okay, like, 2X.
Let's... Well, it's funny, but it's out.
Well,
okay, let's do 2X. Go for it.
I'm going to say. Oh, man.
What are
can
you
I can
say?
I sp- have a, can I give a split answer?
No, you got to
decide
no,
one way or the
good?
Other.
Is it good or is it not?
No, it's in poor taste.
No.
So it's okay, not. I'm going to say no. And my main thing is if a podcast isn't worth your time to actually listen to it on normal speed, why are you listening to it?
It's, like, it's a proximity thing.
The only time, if you had to cram.
That's like, what I was going to say. If you had to cram. Yep.
Like if you were for some reason like trying to.
It just sounds miserable.
It's not that great.
No, like you don't do it for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
See, for me, right. I listen to podcasts for fun. So, like, if I'm listening to a voice message from, like, one of my family members who tends to take too long at recording a voice message.
Which family member?
Well, I wasn't saying anyone in particular, but, I mean, if you
Just most of them.
I know, exactly.
I thought maybe he could remain anonymous, but if you wanted to volunteer,
most of them except you.
Why did you try to throw me under the bus?
No, you crawled under the bus.
You stood in front of the bus while it ran over you.
I opened the bus hatch and Chris is like, just crawled right in.
I was thinking it would apply to most of our family, well, actually.
That's also fair. Like, then you are
especially like, your padre.
Okay. If it's something like that where you want the information, but you're not doing it for the fun of it, like this is like a required activity that you're just trying to get through, then it makes sense to speed it up. But yes. If it's a podcast, it's for the sheer fun of it. Why are you speeding it up?
If you didn't like the podcast well enough to start with, just turn on a different podcast and move on.
Yep. And I could even extend that to probably to 1 1/4. Like 1 1/4 actually doesn't distort it so much. And so I can kind of understand that. Anything above that is like, yeah, why are you listening to this? It probably is cramming or something. And so,
yeah. Plus, I feel like you just need to take time to enjoy life. Like, don't, it's like, it's like, is eating your food at 1.25 times speed? Like, yeah, there's probably situations where that's good.
That's hilarious. That's a whole nother can of worms.
I mean, you know, like if you're
late for something, maybe, but why are you doing
I actually
that?
Find myself eating my food in 2x speed more often than I'd like to admit.
That's another thing our whole family does. Eat our food in 2x. Oh, my. Okay.
I literally did that before I came here.
Brad is just choking
on something.
I just put some food in my mouth, so I was trying to eat it at 2x.
Okay, is this good?
Wait. We're unanimous on that one, right?
Yeah, okay. Excellent. It's not good. Two times speed is not good on podcasts. Mm-hmm. Is this good? Camping.
Oh, Brad, I think you're out.
If I have to decide, yes, it's good, but man, it's so begrudging. Like, I just
save it. Derek and I will give our. Can we do that first, Derek?
I say no.
Oh, Derek. Derek's like, we can't have nice things. We can't be unanimous and harmonious. I'm of course Derek going yes. Not Brad or Kristen. I'm assuming
you think it's good. He wants. Plain sparkling water and no camping.
Derek's like, I want some sparkling water, plain please. Can I like?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Just
I'm just gonna crawl out from underneath the bus.
Platter.
Camping is good.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Okay, Brad, what were you gonna say?
Every time I go camping, I'm like, is this worth it? Like, what are we doing? I have a house. Uh-huh. I have a beautiful bed that I could sleep in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's food available that. Well, okay, to be fair, my wife usually prepares it, but it's not that hard to make, you know? It's kind of there. And here we go off into the woods with...
What woods?
Well, you know, wherever.
Figuratively.
This is Reno County, Kansas. I hate to break it to you.
And we make life hard for ourselves.
Off into the prairie.
And it's I'm just and like, why are we doing this? And
later appreciation.
Mm-hmm. But then, well, yeah.
And,
but,
yeah.
So here's why I ultimately fall on the side of good.
Oh, okay.
So we also had a men and boys camp out, our church did, just this last weekend, that some of camp you weren't, or one of you weren't at. Anyway.
This is me under the bus again.
Kristen. Anyway.
I had other good things pre-scheduled.
Go ahead. I believe you. Oh, crud. Train of thought. Left the station.
The camp out.
Yes.
Why that's good.
I also went camping with my family a couple of weeks ago. And my wife asked me afterwards, was it relaxing? I was like, no, it wasn't relaxing. And so, well, was it worth it? I said, yeah, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. Partly because my children loved it so much. And it was like,
Brad,
you know, this is a good thing. So
Brad, basically, welcome to the camping counseling. Let me camp counsel you here. So do you know why this is not relaxing for you? Because you're doing it with your children. Okay. half of the drama of camping is doing it with your children because they have all their, you know, you need to package all their stuff up and they have all their whatever drama stuff. Anyway, maybe they're scared of the dark, or maybe they need to go to the bathroom when you're just sitting around enjoying a campfire, whatever. So if you and your wife would go camping together, or maybe you and some like adult friends would go camping together, and you would have the right gear. That's a big part of it. Having the right gear mm-hmm. and having like, money? No, you don't have to have you don't have to have a lot of the right gear. Just something, like you need to have a comfortable sleeping cot or mat or something, or hammock, not just sleeping on the hard ground. And you mm-hmm. would just
We got to hustle here because we got to go around too. But I would just like to propose that, Brad, maybe your perspective's a little bit wrong. Just think of it as you're walking out your back door or into the woods. And you're just like crawling into Mother Nature's lap.
What?
And just having like a real good bonding time.
Okay. So, it's a little but why are you talking to me? I'm the one that ultimately nature. Said yes. Derek said no.
I don't know. Oh, yes, Derek. Do you need counseling?
Well, you know, I think partly Derek. I just wanted to be annoying and
you wanted to be contrary.
And contrary. But facetious. Really, here's the problem with camping. Like, everybody used to camp. And you know why they don't, not everybody camps anymore all the time? Because we invented houses, and houses are better.
Yeah,
but it's a throwback. And there's a reason. Okay, maybe there's a place for camping some of the time, but there's a reason we don't do it all the time.
But Derek, you can also...
That's true.
Like, but we don't do it all the time. Why do you eat a hard shell taco at Taco Bell? It's to remind you of how good actual street tacos are.
But oh. That analogy broke down somewhere, man. Just like the taco broke.
Yeah. Everything is broken. What do you got?
Okay.
Are we
going over second round?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. we're saying this is camping like is good.
Camping okay. is good. Okay.
All right. So we're gonna have to go fast here.
Boom.
Oh yes. Speed my round. Second one. I couldn't remember what it was. Is picking things out of a mix.
I knew you were going here.
Party mix or trail mix or whatever. Good.
Derek.
No.
Yes.
It's in poor taste.
No.
You were picking out things earlier.
I know. It's still not good.
Okay. Just making sure.
What do you think, Brad?
It's not good.
It's good because early bird gets the worm, take your worm and go. That's what I'm saying. If the mix is bad enough to have stuff that you don't want to eat that's going to all float to the bottom, then that's on the mix and whoever created it.
What a selfish perspective.
I know. Mm-hmm. What a poor... selfish little brother.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah.
I'm trying to eat food.
No, don't try to guilt trip me into eating thing. Raisins.
Here's like, the thing. If the situation is desperate enough, I will pick out of mixes. But if the mix has stuff you don't like in it, just don't eat the mix. Eat something else.
Yeah, pick something else. And
or maybe mix makers could just do better.
Get the gratification of taking a handful of mix and eating the stuff you don't like
there
first,
you go.
And then you're left with all the good stuff.
Yes.
It's just good for... Mm-hmm. Just
unless
you
it's
feel
bad
like
enough
such a responsible
that you
human.
Don't want to even want it.
The only time picking out is fine is if it's your own mix that you bought and you're eating yourself.
Okay, right. I can agree with that.
Or if you're eating the stuff that nobody else wants to eat.
There you go.
There you go.
If there's agreed upon,
you're picking out the pretzels or the raisins or all the stuff that other people don't want
to
eat.
Or maybe we could just send a clear message to mix makers everywhere that mediocrity in our mixes will not be tolerated.
Yeah,
that's but there's also different opinions on that because I like the raisins.
But marketing will. I mean, the market will take
mediocrity,
care of that.
Not raisins.
Okay, so
people will buy the good mixes and not the bad ones.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so it is not good according to the podcast.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Pumpkin patches and corn mazes and other fall-themed places to go. Are they good?
Yes. Speed round.
I don't know. Yes, sure.
Yes, and I kind of fall similar to camping. Like, why are we doing
fall?
This? But then the kids have so much fun, so
wait,
sure.
You fall?
Okay.
How about you,
I'm going to say no. They're just so... fake.
Thank you, Lane.
So you're
thank you for getting my lame joke.
I didn't hear your lame joke. What was it?
I'm not.
I just said that he falls on like some side of. We were talking about autumn. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, no, dude. Like these corn mazes and pumpkin patches. They're bringing people to the farm,
Derek,
which I am a proponent of bringing to the people to the farm. But they're so fake,
Derek. When was the last time you had a pumpkin patch or a corn maze?
In grade school, and it
See,
sucked,
dude. That's what I'm saying. You have
no.
No, actually,
the corn maze was fun. I'm not gonna lie.
Derek,
when
was the last
fun.
Time you farmed any pumpkins?
Never.
Wow, I feel like Derek is in no position to judge on something he hasn't seen since grade school. What if they completely changed by now?
Oh man. No, I'll probably have to go once I'm, I don't know. You know. Okay. It'll be so, good, and I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
All know white chicks we're love this kind of thing.
Good.
Okay, yes, it's good.
What did you say?
I said white chicks love this kind of thing.
Okay.
That's fair. But
hey, speed round. Are we ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if you wanted to say something, go for it.
No, I'm done.
Okay, my second one is this good reclining your seat on an airplane?
Yes.
Yes.
No. It's in poor taste.
I'm gonna say yes, but my quick caveat.
Say that.
This is just a thing to say.
My thing is, you have to know when to do it and how much to do it. Like during the duration of the flight, it's totally fine. But during taxi, takeoff, and landing, you better not be that jerk who reclines their seat and then the flight attendant comes and tells you to put it up, and then you put it up, and then the instant she turns her back, you put it back to where it was.
Yeah, that's because
someone did that to me, and I was like legitimately like I had to have mine up, so that was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so I was like waiting. It was forcing my little tray table into my lap, and I was waiting for him to hurry up and how to put a seat forward, and then he just stayed that way the entire landing, and it was very annoying.
You should ask him to put it up. I'm surprised you weren't bold enough.
Okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Except if the flight attendants already ask him, like,
the customer behind him is different.
Honestly, I should just call the flight attendant back and be like, hi, my name's Karen. Could you please?
If he refuses to do it for the customer behind him after the flight attendant asks him, then you just start, like, jabbing his seat in the back
kicking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, honestly. A 6'7" dude is giving off big, tough guy vibes. Isn't exactly who I idealize.
Mm-hmm. So actually,
into a verbal joust.
Speaking of 6'7" dudes, here's why you shouldn't do it, is because it encroaches on the person behind you's legroom. And if he happens to be 6'7", he's struggling already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, domestic flights, most of them are so short that it doesn't matter anyway. I
would say there are times to do it, and especially when you're asked not to. But like even like if you're legitimately not trying to sleep or something, just leave it up. Like you don't have to to recline if you're not trying to sleep. Besides the fact that they barely recline anyway.
I know. I was going to say. Really cares. Yeah. It goes back three quarters of an inch or something.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
Okay, you're up, Kristen.
It's like, bim, 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 bim. Like, would you want to be forward or backward? Or forward or mostly not?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Mostly not backward. So, is this good? Raisins.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
No.
Oh, boy.
Why not?
What's yours?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Raisins are good. I don't know why they get so much hate. They're, like, they have a little different flavor than some things, but they're sweet, and they're kind of deliciously chewy, and I don't like them. Honestly, I don't like them in mixes as much as I like them by themselves. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe it's because my expectations are different, but I love Raisin Bran or that kind of thing.
I would actually be the opposite. Like, by themselves, they're just kind of weird. They're just kind of there. But in a mix, like, they're kind of a little bit camouflaged, and I kind of like it.
Oh, okay.
The flavor with
weird flavor, weird texture, overused, and probably one of the more gross dried fruits. Like, give me some dried pineapple or something instead.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of dried fruit to start with, but raisins, they change the flavor of grapes so drastically. Well, it doesn't even relate to grapes. Like, how did we get here?
Don't think of grapes. Just think of them as their own thing.
And they're disgusting. That's why.
No. Yeah. Landon, do we need a tiebreaker? I think I need a tiebreaker on this.
I will say one more thing before I give up my mic.
Come on now.
That they're a struggle in baked goods. Like, I really can't go there.
That's my whole other argument.
So, especially when they look too much like chocolate chips. And that's rough.
Coming from a guy who despises raisins, that's a really bad experience when you had faith that these cookies were not going to be oatmeal raisin, and then they were. You bit into one, and it just sends shivers all the way down your spine.
Yikes.
So there.
You poor fellow.
Okay, Lena. Okay, so I'm going to tune in again for this one. I eat a lot of food, and I love food. And I eat food that I even don't love the most because it's food and I'm hungry at the time.
Man, why do you have to like list all your credentials?
This better be going to the right place. We're trusting you.
Why do you have to get a sword? and I will almost never, ever turn so far astray as to to put a raisin in my mouth voluntarily. Sometimes they sneak them in cookies, and you never see it coming. You get a little extra juice in a cookie that you thought was chocolate.
My guess is the reason you don't like raisins because McDonald's didn't sell them.
And if they would, they'd be amazing. But also, like, are they better than grapes, do you think?
No.
No, we're not comparing them to grapes.
I'm just asking if they're better.
Why are we eating a lesser food?
Folks, you can't put grapes in a trail mix and pack it in your bags and expect them to be good. You have to have them in a dried form.
Well, you can't put raisins in your trail mix and pack it in a bag and expect them to be good.
Exactly.
Whatever. Okay, Mic so drop. The podcast says they're not good. But I That's still right. think they're good. Okay.
I think they're perfectly valid food. I just do not like them.
Yeah.
I appreciate you giving that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're done with Is This Good? That was fun.
Okay. Any final thoughts before we are done for the evening?
Is there anything we forgot this time so that we can do it now instead of at the beginning of the next podcast?
That's a great question.
Hmm. Well, we forgot
to talk about the weather at the beginning of the podcast.
We did not mention the weather until now.
Oh, the weather, wow. Is it supposed to rain tonight?
It's pretty nice. It's pretty
chipper. It's been fantastic.
It's nice weather.
It rained.
It was like a high of 60 today. That was really nice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. I was in my t-shirt, but I was perfectly comfortable.
Wow. I would like to shout out Mary again for doing something that she recommended last episode, was that you should show up to things. And she showed up to her friend's party instead of being here.
Do we actually have an informant on the ground tracking Mary to see if she showed up?
No, we don't.
We trust.
We do trust.
I don't know. Wait, why.
We'll find out later.
Landon, yeah, I thought Landon like maybe was tracking Mary.
I was like, I don't know.
Landon, are you tracking Mary?
I'm trying, but
it's not happening.
he's working on it.
Anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, community, do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Get involved.
Do it and do it with people. Real humans in real time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Boo for raisins.
Why you gotta be like that?
My community does not include raisins.
That's right. Thanks for listening to this. This has been Answers May Vary. See you next time.
Yep, later on.
Have a good one.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Answers May Vary podcast. Our producer today was Landon Miller. Our host is Kristen Miller. Co-hosts are Brad Nisley, Derek Schmucker, and I'm Brandon Miller. If you liked what you heard, please go leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/answersmayvary. And while you're online, go ahead and find us on Instagram at @answersmayvarypodcast. We would also like to hear any feedback or question ideas that you would have for us. You can send all of that to answersmayvarypodcast@gmail.com.